On the agenda, we have five issues, which were the five remaining issues. I think Marcus has reopened two other issues that had closed last week, so we need to discuss those as well. So on the agenda today, some discussion about terminology, the terminology that we're using in the specs, the difference between scoped or nested contexts, allowing the declaration of a container for type, maybe adding a container ID mechanism, and then how we talk about prefixes and queries and resolving those values. There is one thing that we should add to the agenda, and that is the Drupal folks got scared when their two issues were reopened, and now they're having a discussion on whether or not they should support JSON-LD at all, because the message they got was that it's unstable. So we need to resolve what we're going to do with the two issues that Marcus reopened very quickly and get something back to them so that they don't make a drastic decision just to not use JSON-LD at all. So we should probably put that up first on the agenda. Greg, you're up to scribe today. Do you mind scribing?
Sure.
Thanks. Okay, any other any changes or additions to the agenda?
I'm just going to put out I have a blog post I just did that describes the work that I've been doing that motivates the talk that I'm giving this Thursday. So I'll tweet it a little bit later. I put it out on Google+ already.
Oh, great, great. Sorry I wasn't able to get back to you on that, Greg. I've been swamped.
I got plenty of great feedback. Thanks, Marcus and Dave as well.
Great. Fantastic. Let's see. I'm looking for the link to this DrupalCon discussion. Okay, so the topic is DrupalCon discussion on JSON-LD. Here's the link to the discussion. Lynn has basically said, what features should they use what JSON-LD features should they use in Drupal 8, and said that there are some issues that are not yet stable in the spec. Two issues which she resolved on the spec, which made her feel comfortable moving towards JSON-LD. Have since been reopened with removal from the spec possible, specifically having to do with this property generators thing that was put into the spec and the language map stuff that were put into the spec. So the message that the Drupal community got when Marcus reopened those was that JSON-LD is not stable and that they might need to reconsider using JSON-LD at all. So we need to discuss what exactly, why those issues were reopened and what we intend to do about those issues going forward, because I think we're sending the exactly the wrong message to the Drupal community. We're basically, the message they're getting is we could knock their features out from under them at any moment, and I think the message that we want to send is that we are committed to supporting the Drupal use cases in some way. So maybe, Marcus, can you go over why you reopened those issues, and then we can kind of discuss that?
Well, the reason was basically because you closed the issues without updating the algorithms, and we didn't even discuss yet how compaction is going to work. So I just reopened them to not forget about that.
Okay.
And I put that comment into the issue just after reopening it.
Okay, but is there any? Go ahead.
Sorry, but then in one issue about that multiple properties, Rito commented that he finds it a bit weird that we are going to support that, and we discussed that, and we kind of, I had a look at the minutes as well, and there wasn't really agreement. So I thought we might want to discuss that again and see if the use case is really that clear. But the other, regarding the language map, I think that's really just to update the algorithms and then close the issue again.
Okay. So the major concern that you have is with the property generator feature, and questioning whether or not we should have that in there.
Yeah, I mean, I had that question before, but it was Rita who commented that. I just reopened it because the algorithms haven't been updated, and
okay,
we didn't discuss how compaction is going to work, if you have such a thing.
All right. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Okay, so maybe we should discuss how compaction should work today. I guess the high level of what I want to make sure that we put down in the minutes is that we are not trying to pull the rug out from under Drupal. So just to basically make it clear in the minutes that we need to implement that stuff in the API spec, and that's why the issue was reopened. But that's more of a editorial concern. We just need to make sure that the language is in there. I'm totally fine with that. Okay, so let's talk about. Actually, first off, let's talk about whether or not we want to support these features in there or not. Is there anyone in the group that feels that we should not support these features?
Well, I mean, we had the discussion last time, and then we kind of agreed doing it basically for Drupal, I think.
Right. Okay, and nothing's changed with that desire for the group to support this use case to make sure that Drupal has a clean way of doing this. I'd add that it's not just for Drupal, that we have a mechanism like this in RDFA, and a variety of people have said, I've had a couple of offline comments with larger companies that said that it would be nice to have this as well. But unfortunately, they don't want to be identified. So I think it's more than just Drupal, but Drupal is certainly the people that motivated the change or the addition of this feature. Okay, Nicholas, you're on the queue. Sorry.
No problem. It's just a remark or reflection on the feature, which I think we need. But I understand that the feature with the multiple properties might be seen as impure and promoting bad practice from a theoretical point of view, because, of course, theoretically you should strive for unification of term usage, and if you need to, you should rely on inference and equivalent property and things like that. But those are all ideals which are very hard in practice when you publish data simultaneously for multiple consumers. And that's what this case supports. And it supports it in a way that makes it fairly easy for both producers and consumers. I mean, it's a compromise of a sort, but it's a very pragmatic one, which I've seen needed in certain cases, and the alternative would be to make different formats, entirely different documents for each consumer, which is very hard to maintain, and you have a hard time measuring the differences and deciding which one you're going to use if you are a consumer. So from all these points of view, I think that it's impure but useful, and as you say, that's probably the same arguments for using it in RDFA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can always say something informative about that somewhere in the documentation.
Right. Okay. All right. So basically what I'm hearing is that there is no objection to putting this, keeping this feature in the spec. We just need to work out the details of how it's implemented specifically in compaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about that. Let's see, property generators and compact API call.
One thought before we just jump into this, since I think it could be a hairy issue.
Mm-hmm.
We might just want to separate that and say that as described right now, it is not addressed in compaction. And that would allow us to basically close out this particular feature. It's described for compaction, and if we do not describe any action on compaction, then it would not result in anything, because it is, of course, it's a completely different way to do. There's new structures required to do compaction here. You'd need to iterate
mm-hmm.
over all values, looking for values that are equal, and then seeing if you have a term that matches each of the properties that have equal values, which would be done outside of the loop where we're currently looking at each property one at a time. This is one reason why I have not supported doing such things when compacting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And instead relying on custom generators to create JSON that is expressed this way. So I just don't know if we want to wrap these two together, so particularly because we don't want to necessarily give any doubt that because we haven't solved every possible ramification of such a feature, that the whole feature is questionable, but rather that it's a completely separate issue for compaction of this and probably some other features as well.
Okay. I think that's a good suggestion. Anyone opposed to that? So basically, I think we'd end up doing a proposal that says, support both property generators and language maps, and close the issues out, and then create new issues for the implementation of those in the API. Does that work for you, Marcus?
Well, I don't see why that should make sense, to be honest, because, I mean, like, you can't really make use of it anyway without the API.
You can certainly express the markup. You can do markup. You can generate markup for it without the API.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, like, if we used that multiple properties thing, for example, a client wouldn't help the client at all if it couldn't at least expand it to the multiple properties.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that, I mean, we certainly intend to do that, right? It's not we're just going to leave it.
I think we definitely need to do the expansion.
Needs
to describe for these things. And I don't see that there's any real controversy over on what happens when expanding these different features. The issue comes in compaction and consequently in framing, but right now we really only have expansion and compaction to worry about. And certainly there is some open work to be done in the expansion algorithms to treat these, and I think it's reasonable to link those to the existing issues. What I'm suggesting is that we separate out the compaction into different issues, so that they're not tied together.
Yeah.
That's okay. Good. So are we talking about keeping all of the issues open, and then making sure that we can get language in there for the API for expansion? For
I think our practice has been to keep issues open until, I mean, we mark them resolved, but that they're kept open until the language has been updated to reflect what's done. And that's, I think, for my purposes, that's been mostly a sort of a bookkeeping type thing that makes sure that we don't forget that we need to implement something, that we need to actually do the work in the specs for things. It's not, doesn't mean that the issue is not resolved, it's that the work hasn't been completed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's
maybe
the reason why I reopened it.
Okay. So maybe the proposal then is to I mean, we need to do something to tell them that there is a very clear effort to support these features. So the proposal would be to underscore that both property generators and language maps are supported features in JSON-LD, and the group is currently working out the details of how they are implemented in the API spec. Would that work?
Well, I mean, we could also just raise an action to say we post on that Drupal post there that we are still committed to support it, but we have to figure out the details. I mean, nothing changed. It's just it's not completely done yet.
Right.
The issue is still marked as resolved.
Right. Well, I guess
there's a solution in the issue. So.
Right. I think what would make them feel good or somewhat better about this is if we see a whole bunch of plus ones from the group that says that this is what we're intending to do. And we can do it outside of a proposal.
Well, can we do a proposal? Or, I mean, Marcus, do you have a strong objection to separating out the API work with respect to the compaction algorithm from expansion so that once we had completed the work in documenting expansion, we could close these issues out, create new issues for how compaction is dealt with?
Well, I don't have a strong objection, but it would make it more difficult, I think, to keep track of everything. But I'm fine with if you prefer that.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us know clearly what needs to be done. So I'm not so concerned that it's going to be a bit more difficult to track all this stuff.
I mean, that's basically the way we worked for 2 years now, so I don't understand why we have to separate issues now.
It's because there's been confusion. The reason that we're doing this a little differently now is because someone got the wrong message from an action that we've done. So we need to be very clear in communicating to them what the group is intending to do. Go ahead.
What about just putting a proposal? The group is committed to support language maps and property generators and with plus minus one that and put that into the issue.
Yeah, but I think what I don't want to get hung up over is on compaction because I don't think we necessarily have consensus on how these features are dealt with in the compaction algorithm.
Right. So let's
so that's an open issue and I don't want to have the entire thing be open just because of that.
So let's split this. I think Marcus just made a very good proposal. I think that is easily plus oneable. So the group is committed to support language maps and property generators in JSON-LD 1.0. And then, Greg, we can discuss the split out of the compaction stuff separately because I do think that should be it could be a fairly large discussion.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So let's do Marcus's proposal first. The group is committed to support language maps and property generators in JSON-LD 1.0. And then Francois, if you plus one, minus one. All right. So that's resolved. So The next topic is, I guess, splitting compaction work out into a separate issue. And this is, I guess, property generator. Well, that should be compact, but okay. So Marcus's point is that we have typically dealt with these issues all in one go. Why should this one be treated any differently? Greg, what we could do is we could start the discussion off, and if we can't figure something out in 10 minutes, then raise an issue on it. Does that?
All right. Well, so let me just I don't know where other people are with regards to this, but I've said on a number of occasions that I'm really worried that the compaction algorithm is getting to be almost unimplementably complex, and that as we add more features, particularly those that can completely alter the structure, that it becomes almost unacceptable to have that much complexity in an algorithm, when in fact, I think as we discussed a couple of calls back, most people typically generate JSON LD through their own customized mechanisms. I do it that way. I make use of compaction, but mostly as a way of doing fairly standard normalizations. For instance, I automatically generate properties with arrays, whether they're single-valued or multi-valued, and I want it to be more conforming. So if I compact and there's a single value, it'll drop the array for me. I might change sort of the way I want IRIs compacted. In some cases, I make use of queries and other terms. By applying a context, it can easily do that. And those are the types of things that I find compaction useful for. I frankly don't find framing useful now at all. I do the in-memory linking mostly. So for my purposes, trying to make use of an algorithm, it would be just too much work trying to get the API to do what I wanted. I noticed this in framing quite a lot. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and there's really no insight into why. And you almost have to go back and create the simplest possible frame and add a little bit one after the other until you find the thing that doesn't work, and then go scratch your head as to why that doesn't work. And I think these things make it fairly useless. So I'm really reluctant to add more complexity to compact. And I'm on record as saying I think we should probably remove some of the things we have in compact now that are like this. For instance, which specific term is selected for a property and splitting values across multiple properties because of their various signatures. I think that this also leads to things that are unintuitive.
Okay. So are you talking about the ranking algorithm, or?
In that case, I'm talking about the ranking algorithm, and I think for that matter, the very act of splitting properties among multiple terms. In other words, if you have a property that has an equivalent IRI, but terms that differ in data types or other things such as that, that it results in the values being split across those different terms. Something we did, and it certainly makes sense if you are trying to be entirely symmetric between expansion and compaction. It's just my observation that leads to unexpected results.
Okay. So I at a high level, I agree with you on the complexity argument. I don't think that we want to have. I mean, that's one of the reasons in the very beginning that we said that when we talk about compaction, that we leave a lot of the kind of the magic up to the implementation. Like, certain implementations can compact in different ways based on how complicated they want the compaction mechanism to be. But the counterargument to that was that if we do that, then there's no interoperability. So maybe what we should do is define a core set of interoperability, what you should expect from compaction. But even that, the counterargument to that is if we don't define everything, then there is no interoperability. So I guess the fundamental question is, well, there are two fundamental questions. One of them is whether or not we expect compact to be interoperable. The other question is if we do expect it to be interoperable, where do we draw the line? Right, which features, what is compaction expected to do and what is it not expected to do? And I think this property generator case is one of the cases. Greg outlined a couple of others, but property generators are a case where we may not want the algorithm to do anything when it goes to compact those values. So I guess maybe we should start with those basic questions. Do we expect compaction to be interoperable? And if the answer to that is yes, where do we draw the line on where the interoperability kind of stops? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. I also fairly agree on the high level and especially on the property generator part. I do like the current part of ranking, although I haven't actually implemented that part of the ranking in the Python implementation. I've seen the need for it when I have very disparate data, and the argument for that is that I need some interoperability because I want to have a context define the mapping from RDF to, for instance, an Elasticsearch indexing of data. And I would like that to be as declarative as possible and leaving nothing to be questioned and figured out by implementation, so that people can just throw their data via a context into an index, whether it's Elasticsearch or MongoDB or other kinds of similar JSON-centric index systems. But from my point of view, although I agree that we should debate this in detail and we need an issue to track the difference between what we support in expansion and compaction, I have a feeling that we should draw the line at where you cannot determine which term to use from the current property and value alone. That rules out the multiple properties, property generators. It doesn't rule out ranking, and it not necessarily rules out all kinds of language mappings either, but that is still to figure out. And I certainly agree that it's on the border, and I wouldn't at this point think that it would be a bad thing if it was left out from compaction.
Wait, so did you say that the property ranking, you're fine with that being left out, or the property generator?
No, property generator. Property ranking, okay. I believe should be left in, but perhaps simplified. I must implement that thoroughly before I have a good argument, pro or against.
Okay. Would we be opposed to some implementations implementing the property generator compaction in that it takes, you know, three properties and coalesces it down into one. Would we be okay with implementations doing that, or should we specifically forbid that in the implementations?
In RDFA, we have examples of optional features such that implementing the feature is not required, but if it is implemented, it has interoperability requirements. The vocabulary expansion is one of those, and I believe so is the processor graph work. And this might be where we start to get a little bit more definition in the flag we provided to compact that allows for sort of best effort compaction, where that could now be ruled by perhaps a set of parameters that are associated with these optional features. That way, the processors can declare whether they support it or not, and it is supported if the appropriate options are passed to the algorithm. I think that also makes testing easier because it no longer becomes an all-in-one type thing. You can decide you're going to do this. It also can reduce the computational complexity that might be there to support odd cases that are never likely to come about for various use cases. And in that case, we might even consider that term selection could be one such. Maybe it's not an optional feature, but perhaps it's a feature which is controlled through an API flag.
I think flags are good for optional features. It should be possible to query the implementation via some sort of has feature method, I think, so that you can take appropriate measures if your implementation doesn't support a certain expansion.
Yeah, that would be a useful API method.
Yep. Okay. So maybe we do have a little more agreement than we thought we would. I certainly agree with the general direction of the discussion. So I think there are three things we're discussing. One of them is that the compact call will have a mechanism to turn off and on certain compaction features. If you have a feature, each one of those features, if an implementer implements it, is required to implement it in an interoperable way. And the basic, in taking this back to the compaction and property generator case, what we're saying is that compaction for property generators is not a requirement in the base API, but people could implement it in their processor by specifying a specific feature of that processor. So property generator compaction, something like that, a flag like that. And you would pass that flag to the compact call if you wanted a property generator compaction to happen as well. In general, do people agree with that approach? Marcus, you're on the queue.
I'm wondering if, especially in this case, it would be that difficult to support it, and if the problem not lies somewhere else. And I think Niklas was it who raised that, or who mentioned that last time. I can't remember. And it's difficult at the moment to distinguish between prefixes and terms, and a lot of complexity comes into compaction because basically every term can be treated as a prefix or as a term. And that would make, well, basically you could even have a prefix which expands then to multiple properties or to multiple compact IRIs. So maybe we should discuss if we, I don't know, add a colon at the end of prefixes, and they are not allowed to have at least, or basically they don't have, you can't set a container, you can't set a type or anything else, just an IRI. And then compaction would be rather trivial for even multiple properties, because the first step is always to check whether the full IRI matches.
All right. So the major issue I have with that is that we would be modifying a feature of the language to make implementation easier and could potentially confuse developers on what the difference between a name with a colon after it and just a name is by itself. You could argue the other way and say that, well, it would be more clear to developers what a prefix is and what a term is.
The problem I see is that we currently silently just ignore all the other definitions for a prefix, even if it's a term. So you ignore the container, you ignore the language, you ignore everything, and that's silently. And sometimes, I can't remember a specific example, but I run across that, and when writing some tests, that at some point a term was chosen as a prefix instead of being used as a term, or the other way around. That's kind of confusing if you see that the first time.
Right. I guess my question is, does that happen in the general case, or is that a corner case? Nicholas is on the queue.
Yeah, perhaps that's a good question. I was thinking that we could actually say that things defined with what do we call them when we have an object as the right-hand value? Expanded definition?
Expanded term definition.
Right,
yeah.
That they are never used as prefixes. Would that be solving anything?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Well, it wouldn't. I mean, at least. Well, then I would have to keep track what's a prefix and what's not a prefix, because I kind of expand everything when I do context processing. So my local,
right.
In my active context, everything looks the same.
Well, but you could still do that, and so we might say that if it uses an expanded term definition, it can only have the ID key, and that way you can determine if it's a term that is useful for using in a compact IRI, because it does not have mapping or language or container aspects.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that bring? What's the advantage of doing that?
Well, it would reduce complexity
think...
in the algorithm, right? That's one of the things that we were discussing.
Yeah.
No, because that term could then still be used as a term or a prefix.
Yeah,
a term can be used as a term if it. If it matches, so regardless of whether it has any other of the compaction features, those aren't required. In fact, I commonly make use of that type of thing.
So what would be, like, what's the disadvantage of adding a colon, for example, at the end of prefixes? That we have a microsyntax or something?
One of them is it's a microsyntax, definitely. The other one is that developers need to understand the difference between a language with a colon after it and stuff without one. They need to understand that is going to apply differently in the body of the document. A bit suspicious that the way that we have it right now, you could argue that They need to understand that the terms that don't have anything other than ID could be are going to be used as prefixes, and anything that has more than that is not going to be used as a prefix. But I think that that is a detail that they don't have to care about. Right? They don't have to care about that. They may hit that case at some point, and at that point they can go and learn about it. But in the general case, I don't think that they're ever going to hit that case. If we have something with a colon in it, the general case is that they have to go out and learn about the difference between prefixes and terms. And I don't think that that is something we should kind of force on to the authors as kind of a first step of understanding JSON-LD. The other thing is I think that markup can be very error-prone in that they might forget to use a colon, and then they still use, you know, term, colon, and the value down in their document, and it's a single character mistake that ends up, you know, really kind of screwing them up. And I think that's going to be a more general issue, right? You're staring at your code and you don't understand why this stuff isn't expanding, or, you know, why it's not expanding to the value expected to expand to. And the reason is because you're missing this colon character in your context. So I'm really, really don't like it for those reasons. One, the microsyntax thing, because we'd be introducing the first microsyntax after working really hard to get it out of there. And then two, I think that developers would have a hard time learning about and debugging the feature if we did that.
How about, well, that's another term, like, or keyword.
What are examples that this really comes about in practice? In my case, prefixes pretty much are always associated with common vocabularies. And the only time I can think of that becomes a term in and of itself is for something like an OWL definition, where I have an OWL definition for schema.org, so, you know, the schema then can be used as a term that expands to that IRI. That's there's very few cases otherwise in my usage where it really happens that the terms that are defined for the purpose of being prefixes are also used as plain terms.
Yeah, I can't think of a single time this has been an issue for us. I can understand if you're writing test cases that it pops up because you're kind of testing the edges of the language, but I can't think of a single time that this has come up in the last 2 years for us.
Well, one thing that strikes me, I think, was when I did some RDFA JSON-LD conversion, and it wasn't evident from it's not evident from the JSON-LD context if I can use things declared there as prefix definitions, because they might be just term definitions.
Well, I mean, in that case, it doesn't matter, right?
When I get to JSON-LD to turtle, sometimes I'll find terms being used as prefixes in the turtle, which is completely legal, but sometimes not exactly what you're looking for. But my mechanisms typically make use of all of the prefixes or terms that are defined in the JSON-LD when doing the turtle serialization.
Yeah, I think there was something like that that I came across, that I had to track the actual usage before I could render the prefix declarations, because otherwise I would just fill it with term, bind it to what is actually only used as terms.
Okay, so we're getting a little off. We're kind of going on tangents here. The original thing that we were discussing was how we would support the property generator pattern and compaction, and it went into a more general discussion about optional features. So let's I think we may have enough to kind of pop back up the stack. So let's talk about a couple of proposals. Do we think that there may be optional features in compaction? Is that Does anybody disagree that there should not be any optional features in compaction?
What does that mean? That we specify those optional ones, or
yeah, if there are optional features, we are going to say if you implement this optional feature, you must implement it in this way to guarantee interoperability.
Well, I mean, without knowing what exactly we are talking about now, I can't really decide on that.
Well, I mean, as a general rule, I can look at that and say, as a general rule, I'm fine with that. When it comes down to the specifics of it, we may not agree at that point. But as a general rule, the JSON-LD API can have optional features, and if the feature is optional, implementers don't have to implement it. But if they decide to implement it, they have to implement it in a very specific way.
Well, the problem with optional features is that you can't rely on them anymore then. Because
that's
you never
true,
know
some,
if it's supported or not. So.
Well, you usually end up making a decision on the implementation that you use. And when you do that, you're pretty sure that whether or not that optional feature exists or not. Like, for example, when you use, you know, a particular, let's say you use Modernizer to make sure that there's a shim for IE8, you know that you can depend on that feature now because the shim is going to put the right piece of code in there for something like, let's say, Canvas or SVG support. But I think in practice, you definitely know whether or not that feature's there. It's only when you have this really modular system where you can plug in modules in and out that you have that issue. And I don't think very many people have that kind of environment. And if they do, we're saying we're going to provide a mechanism where they can query to see if that feature exists or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, generally I'm against it, but if there is a certain case where it would make sense, I'm not too opposed. But at the moment, I'm not a friend of that path.
A friend of the optional mechanism? Okay.
The reasoning in introducing that is to make it easier to implement a parser or processor, but I think that cost is quite small compared to end users, which then use such a processor.
There's another way we could look at this in that if everybody ends up implementing the optional feature in the next version of the API, it's no longer optional. It's just the default for that feature is on.
Yeah.
Well, there is a computational concern, right? That if these features are enabled by default, that it could really slow down your workflow because I've now have to iterate. I mean, if I have a number of properties in my objects, I now have to basically do almost a combinatorial search over all of those property values to see. I mean, if you think that I could have 100 properties. And each of those properties could have 100 values. I now need to search for each combination of property and value to look for a match before I can see if there is a term that's a property generator that matches and know if I can use that. And that for someone who's never intended to use property generators at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Sure, but then I would say it's the better option to turn specific features off if you don't need them instead of just not implementing them.
the general case is, particularly for newer users, is they're going to pick up the API and they're going to use it and expect that the defaults are going to do what they want. And if they don't, then they might look deeper to see if there are other ways to do it. And in various JavaScript libraries, that might mean there is a library that I add that adds that type of capability that I make use of, but I sort of have chosen to go get it, and then the behavior exists. So perhaps these are features that can be, where the defaults can be defined by the presence of the feature, although that's dangerous. But that's in practice, that's the way that I make use of Ruby or JavaScript libraries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look for the feature, and I find it and explicitly add it. I mean, Backbone's similar to that, right? Where you or Bootstrap rather, where there's a button, there's a JavaScript implementations for buttons and modals and things like that that you can choose to include or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, The more I think about this, the more I'm very concerned about the property generator case being a computational complexity that nobody really needs. Go ahead.
It's also a memory problem. You blow up your extended output like 3, 4, 5 times, depending on how much properties you generate per term.
Right. But I think that's fine. That decision is up to the community like Drupal. Like, the reason they're doing it is they want to use, you know, the core properties, and they want to make sure that they're compatible with schema.org, right? And they absolutely do not want to use any kind of reasoning mechanism or whatnot. So they are willing to pay that complexity burden.
Why is CPU more important than memory? Normally, the CPU is idle most of the time, while memory is not so scarce.
I'm not saying one of them is more important than the other. What I'm saying is that the decision lies with the person that is creating and using the markup, right? So I don't think it's our decision to say what is important and what's not. I think it's important for us to say, you have a choice. If you are okay with the memory and computational burden of property generator compaction, then turn the feature on. But we know that most people are not going to want that feature. So by default, it's going to be off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but, I mean, like, there's always the publisher and the consumer, and the same applies for expanding property generators. The consumer hasn't a choice in that case.
Well, the consumer could decide not to consume the data that's being expressed by the Drupal community, or they could raise a bug saying that it results in really bloated markup, and they would like a flag to turn off this expansion. You know, give them a different context that doesn't bloat the data.
I think in practice, the Drupal users aren't going to be rerunning the JavaScript or the JSON that's being generated through compaction. They're going to use it basically the way that I've been using things. Once I get to a specific compacted format, that's the way my APIs operate. And so over that, I expect properties to have a specific flavor, or I'm generic about them.
Yeah,
so,
but if you are the consumer, you specify the context, and if you don't use properties in there, multiple properties or property generators, the overhead goes away. It's like a loop.
As a consumer, I typically don't specify a context. I retrieve data from an API that includes reference to a context which was used that's associated with the data I'm retrieving. I don't in turn make use of the JSON-LD compact to apply that, and I'm not, the way that I'm working with the data does not require me to do that type of operation.
But why are then you concerned about the computational overhead of compaction if you're not doing that anyway?
Well, because I think there are, as I mentioned, there are some cases of where compaction becomes useful. In my case, probably more on the server side, so that when I get a structure that's been generated through my client-side content generator, I can make sure that it is sort of has an optimal signature. And yes, indeed, if that was something I was concerned with, that would be a feature that I'd enable. But in fact, the two are operating close together, and if I have, say, a title property that happens to have a property generator associated with it, I don't expect to see the data coming in that maybe has both a DC title and a schema name, say. I expect to see a single property.
Nicholas is on the queue.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, for one, if Drupal, for instance, started to use a lot of properties for one term, I mean more than 3 to 5, it might be that the consumers will react to that and say that this is just noise. I mean, ideally, those properties would converge, and wouldn't expect someone to use more than 3 to 5 at most. I mean, mixing so many different vocabularies isn't so likely from what I've seen. But if consumers want to consume such noisy data, they can always consume it incrementally, triple by triple, and throw away the triples from the vocabularies they aren't interested in. So from that point of view, they have more control because they're consuming it for a reason. Or they just throw everything they can into a gigantic triple store, and then they wouldn't care about the memory consumption so much anyway because they want everything.
These are very similar arguments to, you know, the cost of various entailment regimes, and, you know, whether you... Mm-hmm. You run everything in order to get a data explosion that you can query over, or that your queries are optimized to only manifest those that are required to implement the query. So I don't know how much these are going to be useful. And my guess is for Drupal's purpose, it's really sort of trying to get alignment with COOK and schema.org. So it might just go down to a small number of terms that are of most importance.
Right. Okay, so we've spent quite a bit of time discussing this. Let's try and go back. I think that we're going to end up having to do a proposal of least resistance here in order to just make some progress on this. So what we normally do in this case is we figure out what all the proposals are on the table, and we go with whichever proposal has the least amount of resistance. That doesn't mean no resistance. It just means, you know, people hate it the least. So it's typically a compromise when stuff like this happens. Okay, so the two base proposals on the table, I think, are supporting optional features in compaction or making all features required in compaction. And the decision we make on either one of these definitely trickles to the other decisions we need to make, meaning if we support optional features in compact, then the likelihood that we're going to support property generator compaction is high. If we make all features required in compact, then the likelihood that we're going to support property generator compaction is fairly low. Are there any other proposals on the table, any other core proposals on the table? Yeah, Marcus, you're correct that we do. I think we may end up getting rid of optimize and replacing it with specific features.
Yeah, because of the conformance issue.
Yep.
Interoperability.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. So any other proposals on the table? Do we want to plus one, minus one these to see what we come out with?
Well, the other proposal is we continue, and as soon as we get to one optional feature, we decide then.
Well, we're already there, right? The optional feature is property generator compaction.
So that's the question.
So we,
that's optional.
Well, I think the answer to that is yes, but I think the more core question is whether or not we're supporting these types of optional features, specific optional features with specific implementation requirements. So, I think if you guys could also put your, whether or not your plus one or minus one to the second item. Greg. All right. So I think from this, it's the first one. So support optional features in Compact. Any optional feature Yeah, that's true. So we need to pass this by them to make sure.
Well, again, I really don't think the Drupal community cares about compaction.
Well, at least
I think
right.
they want. Excuse me.
The last time when we discussed language maps, they wanted to have round tripping for compaction. So
yeah.
I assume they care here as well.
I'm not as concerned about. Being able to support language maps. I think that's a much more straightforward proposition of extension to our existing algorithms.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so the proposal on the table then is support optional features in Compact. Any optional feature that is implemented must be implemented in a specific way as outlined in the JSON LD API optional. Well, okay. Okay, so that's the proposal. And option for Compact ID. You're going to need to explain that a bit more, Nicholas.
Yeah.
I don't quite follow.
Yeah, it's just something I came across when I did compaction on schema data, and I didn't want the IDs to be compacted into QRIs because I wanted to throw them into dictionaries directly, but it's a very specific case, so just a vague thought right now.
Okay. If you want that vague thought to be discussed in a bit more detail, you should probably raise an issue on the tracker so we don't forget about it.
Yeah, I'll do it if I see that it's cropping up in other cases, because it was just one test I did. I'd see if it's something that's generally problematic. The downside would be that it would be harder to understand how compaction works, because you could throw in parameters for everything.
Right.
Perhaps forbid QRIs entirely in certain compactions and thing, but it needs to be thought about.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's a bit tangential. Let's get back to the topic. Proposals for property generators and compact support property generator compaction as an optional feature. or do not support property generators at all, or compaction of property generators at all.
So what would it mean if we don't support it at all? They are just ignored, or?
They're left as is when you compact.
So that term basically gets ignored.
That term. So let's say you have a document and it's got a property generator in it and it's already in compact form. When it goes through expansion, let's say it has three properties associated with it. So those three properties get injected into the expanded form. Now, when you go to compact that again, those three separate properties don't get coalesced down into one property anymore. They just stay as three properties. So it's not a round trippable thing. Property generators are not round trippable in that case. Does that
so they just
make
remain
sense?
The full IRI. Basically,
yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Or they might use another term. For instance, if I define schema and SEOC, then I might use those to create compact IRIs, or I might have just defined title and name to those specific properties from each of those, which would allow those terms to be used. But a term which was, you know, title name, which was the combination of the two that was used perhaps in the originally compacted document that had the property generators associated with it, would not automatically be picked up without the option enabled to enable that specific the property generator compaction.
Okay. Yeah. So do we have any other proposals for property generators in Compact right now? There are two on the table, supported as an optional feature, and that's the first one. The second one is do not support compaction of property generators at all.
The third would be as required.
Yeah, that would be as
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Support property generator compaction as a required feature. Any other option?
Well, a bad option might be to expand only the first term, or the first value in the enumeration in the array.
I mean, an expansion or a compaction?
No, compaction. Sorry.
Personally, in the enumeration of the array. Okay. All right, so four options. Anything else? Okay, so let's go ahead and show our plus one, minus one, plus zeros for this. Plus one.
Oh, I don't know if you guys saw what I typed in the IRC there. I think I had an alternative, a fifth option.
Oh, what's the fifth option?
We could mark something in the context under the property generator that says that it's the one that you actually want to compact with.
Okay. Could you type that out really quickly in the IRC so we can get a...
I can't remember exactly what the property generator syntax looks like. I think it's something like an array on the right side of a term.
It's within the ID.
Right. Yeah. So you have like a foo ID, whatever goes in here. Something like that, because that way, when you're specifying the context, you can be very explicit about which property you want to use to compact things, and any term that's found in the property generator definition, any expanded term that's found in there, just you look for the compact flag for true. And you could optimize that. You don't have to go searching throughout the data to find the most compact form. You don't have to pick the first. You don't have to only compact the first thing that exists in the property generator. It's just if any of the expanded terms exist in the property generator, use this term to compact.
Well, so if the property generator had, say, schema name and DC title, and compact was true, then when I see a term that was DC title, that would tell me I can use this term, even though it also results in saying schema name, which
right.
might not be in the data.
Right.
Then you'd need to remember that when you eventually saw the expanded schema name that you had already generated, you would already have put that out. That would certainly simplify the algorithm, and it requires a relatively small amount of memory to record those decisions that you've already made.
Right, and it's also very explicit. We keep talking about having this issue where essentially when you are running the compaction algorithm, you have to understand how the algorithm works to know what the output's going to be for these complex corner cases. And this way, you can just say in the context specifically, this is the term I want to have come out if any of the expanded terms match this property generator. So you can be more clear about which terms you want to have pop out at the end of the compaction.
And then we need to integrate that with the ranking algorithm as well, right?
Yeah, we could probably, we could effectively, what we could do is put the ranking algorithm into the context and say, you could put a priority, instead of compact true, you could actually put like a priority or you could be very explicit in the context about which terms you want to have picked. So there, you don't actually have to run a ranking algorithm other than just check another property in the context. And if that isn't present, then you just we could have some default behavior. But
I can't really think of an example where if I had data that came in that say had used property generators or had not, for instance, maybe I had data that only uses schema, and I wanted to assert data that would be both schema and COC or DC or whatever. Then a reasonable way to do that would be to use a context with property generator definitions in it. So I can see a lot of advantage to that.
Right.
I guess my concern is that this is a pretty, it is a declarative mechanism, but it's a pretty complex approach. In that it doesn't hide any of the complexity from the developer, right? It's going to be whoever's writing the context must really understand how these property generator stuff, how the property generators work, and it seems like it's much more complicated than the other features
do
that we have.
Do they need to understand that, or do they just need to know that these are the preferred terms in the context for whatever they put in as the expanded term? Now,
they need to be able to read it, right?
I think the only thing that they have to understand about this, though, is these URIs should the preference is for them to compact to this term.
But this may ask a stupid question. If you want to be specific, which term gets chosen, you just have to specify just one, and then that's the one which is chosen.
That's right. That would be the simplest way that we could implement this. A more complex way is we could use a compaction priority number, and you could prioritize it however you want, but that's a little bit more complex.
Well, if you just use one term, then you still get the other property coming out, don't you? It'll
just
come out
one
as an absolute IRI. So if you just use, say, name from schema name, then it'll match the schema name bit, but then you'll still have the DC title that's hanging around and will get generated. If you don't define a title property or a DC namespace, it'll get just output as a full IRI property. So
right, unless you have,
I recall, my understanding of your mechanism is the it would be a property generator element in there. So you would map foo if there was any match for a value of ID that's in there.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't think I really typed ID should be an array. I didn't type this out correctly. But
I'm certainly for removing magic that happens because of the complexities of the algorithm and allowing things to be more explicit, because that's one of the big issues is when developers are surprised or implementers are surprised when things come out and you don't expect that they should.
Right, and I think the correct way to solve that is by being declarative in the context.
So this
the alternative would
keyword.
Be to put a number there instead of true, and you could have a priority.
So just to ask again, if compact is false there, that term gets ignored completely. So it's the same as just not putting that term into the context, right?
I would think that if you say compact false, it would mean do not. It's not considered for compaction.
Yeah, but
yeah, we can do that.
You pass the context, so I just don't pass that term there, so it's ignored. Why do I need a flag?
Well, there could be a difference. It might be matched and cause nothing to be output versus the terms not considered. That might be another option. So that would allow you to match properties that you don't want in your output. Although we're really getting into framing, so.
Yeah.
I thought one of the big issues here was that we didn't know which term to pick if we had a large or a property generator with at least two or more things in it, or maybe multiple property generators. We didn't know which term we wanted to pick to generate the most compact output. The algorithm would have to be complex to solve that.
I don't know if that's necessarily the issue. I thought the way that the algorithm was supposed to work is that if there is a match for everything in ID when you go to compact, so if every single one of those values, every single one of those values IDs is in the JSON LD that you're compacting, and all of the values are the exact same for all of them, then and only then do you use the foo term to express the value.
Okay.
Right. So
The nice thing about Dave's is it's not all of them, it's any of them.
Yeah, but I think
right.
That's a new feature. That's a new feature. I think that I'm fine with discussing that other feature, but I think that what we're trying to do here is talk about how property generators are round-tripped. And I think that this mechanism is something different, right? It's a new way of doing compaction that doesn't necessarily have to do anything with property generators.
Manu, could you repeat what you just said? Did you just say that the term is just chosen if all of the IRIs are in the expanded output, so all of the property generators?
Yeah.
And the values match.
Yeah. Right, and all the values match. It's a very, very specific.
But why is not one enough? Then you merge it.
Well, because we're using the property generator syntax here. I mean, if you're doing this, I think that if you're doing this, you're expecting your property generator data to round trip, right? I don't think that there was any other requirement from the Drupal use case, and I think that option number five that they proposed is fine and good, but it's not. It doesn't have. It's tangentially related to the property generator case, which is I have a context. You know, I've got a property generator in it. It's going to go to expansion. It's going to expand to some values, and when I compact it, I expect it to go back to the same value.
Is that specifically what they need, or do they have a problem with it if it were to generate more properties? If you compacted it and then expanded it again, it would, in this use case that I provided, it would generate more, potentially, it would generate more expanded properties. Is that an issue for them?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I would think that in the general case, when you're using these property generators, you're saying all these properties mean the same thing, essentially, or I want to generate all of these properties from any given one of these. And if that's true, then I don't think we need all this extra complexity. We can just put this in here, and we don't even have to check values. We just match any IRI.
Yeah, that's my impression as well.
That would simplify the algorithm to the point where I would be fine with having it be a required element and not optional.
Right, and ultimately we could maybe even simplify the ranking algorithm using the same feature.
That would be great too.
Yeah,
it's just a question of whether or not that's what people intend when they use property generators in their context. If the intention is to generate multiple properties whenever you see a certain property, which is sort of what the name even means, I don't see why this is a problem to be the way that you solve the problem. And I don't see why this would be an issue.
Right. I guess the only way it is an issue is that it's not necessarily round-tripping cleanly.
It's not. It would be after, if you did it twice, you would always... after doing it once, everything after that one time would all be the same round trip. But the first time might not be if you left out if your incoming data only had two, maybe one property out of the three. But every time after the first trip, it would be the same.
We're really getting into entailment regimes, and I can really see objections coming out from some people in the RDF working group that there's already stuff for doing entailment. Indeed, that's the argument we got about not doing the geo-coordinates thing, was that the argument there was that that can be done through entailment regimes, so why not this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's general. I mean, that's not specific to compaction. That's also for expansion.
Yeah, and actually the tuple thing can't be done with entailment regimes at this time.
What do you mean, Nicholas? I heard the triple thing. What's the triple thing?
The Drupal thing.
Oh, the Drupal thing, okay.
Drupal.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Well, I think the question on the table is the symmetric compaction, and we should probably settle that out. I'm the only one that actually put a vote out on that one so far. I think this is another thing that we could consider that I have some sympathy towards. But it is different, and because it has a lot of implications that I think could be stepping on some toes.
All right. And unfortunately, I don't feel like I understand it completely to give it a plus one or a minus one. So I'm going to abstain as long as Dave and Greg feel that they have a good handle on it. Maybe we can discuss it in a bit more detail. I think the danger, another danger here is that we are talking about something new, and if the Drupal community is going to go and read this, and what they're going to take away from this is that oh shit, they haven't really figured out what they're doing with this stuff yet.
I think we're actually trying to come up with the solution for how to compact the data for them. I don't know. It seems more like we're fighting for their feature to me. And we should actually probably ask them if this behavior with this idea for number 5 would cover what they want. Because if it does,
right.
Then I mean maybe it just adequately covers what people mean when they want property generators.
It's certainly different from what I had in my mind on what the property generators would do for compact and expand and compact again. I would expect it to always something that expands to always compact and then compact at the same value. That's
why it's like entailment. That's
right.
Why it's like entailment, because you don't expect that from entailment.
Right. Yeah, and so I'm very wary of kind of wandering into the entailment area. One, because JSON-LD is not supposed to be that complicated, and I think that this kind of takes it into that area. And then two, the syntax is whether or not we have a true flag on compact or a ranking flag, that's very complicated. Meaning that they need to understand what those numbers mean, or we're introducing another, keyword, which would be the compact. We'd probably make that app compact. I'm pretty wary of 5, but I think we should certainly discuss it more. We shouldn't vote it down at this point. I mean, it looks like it has mediocre to decent support. Some people don't truly understand it, so maybe we need to raise it as an issue and discuss it. But for right now, the thing that has the strongest support seems to be the first one, is making it an optional feature.
Yeah, I worry about that, because I can see people who are thinking, oh, well, JSON-LD is going to put this feature in here, and then we say it's optional, and they're like, oh, well, no one's going to implement it because it's too complex. That's the same thing as saying it's not there.
Unless you know, there's an implementation in I think all they need to see is a PHP implementation, and they'll be happy, right?
But that's not enough, because all their clients would need to implement that as well.
But I think right. The important part for that case was that people would be able to consume their compact data as RDF, and expansion solves that. I believe that was stated somewhere.
So we need to touch base with the Drupal community to make sure that we're not getting too off base from what they need. And then we'll pass the fifth option by them and see what they think about that. Okay, so I don't know if we should really do a proposal on this today, because it sounds like things are still kind of up in the air. Is everyone okay with not doing a proposal on this and kind of continuing the discussion next
week?
Well,
the only thing that means is we'll spend another half an hour on it next week.
Right.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Marcus.
What about if we try to implement it and then vote on the implementation? I could do an implementation of that for next week, I think.
Of 5 or of 1?
Of how I understand it, it should work.
Of 5 or of 1?
Well, I don't understand 5, and whether if it's optional or required, we can decide that next week then. So I would implement it as the term ranking stays exactly the same. The only thing is that you iterate over all the IDs for property generators.
And then if every single ID matches and every single value matches, then you minimize it?
No, if there is a match for that value and that IRI, then I compact it into that term.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not the same thing though. That's what 5 is doing. With number 1, you have to also match all the values. You have to go over the entire graph, the entire document, and find all of the IDs and values. And if they all match, then you can use that term.
Well, I mean, right. 1 just said support property generator compaction as optional feature. It doesn't say how it's going to implement.
Well, we have to say that in the spec because of the interoperability requirement.
And that's why I propose that we do an implementation and see if that's viable, if that's how we intend it to work, and then we vote on that. So we have something
Right. What we're saying is the round tripping would not work if you don't also check the value. So the only way that this algorithm could work is if you ensure that the values are the same as well. Otherwise, we're getting into this entailment stuff where you don't get the same thing out when you expand and compact.
Yeah, but, I mean, you never get the same thing out if you have two different contexts.
Right,
yeah, but
we're
assuming that you
same
have the
context.
Same one.
Right.
Can you say it again?
We're assuming that you're going to use the same context.
Okay, so why would it not round trip then?
If you had, let's see, go ahead.
You just have to eliminate the duplicates when compacting. Or do I miss?
When you expand it, you might end up creating, let's say you have the term foo, that map to a property generator. When you expand that, it might expand into three different IRIs.
Yeah.
And when you go to compact it, you want to compact down to just one again.
Yeah.
However, if when you were expanding originally, you had something that mapped to one of the IRIs that was in foo. I'm probably losing track of this, but
basically what you could have a term with a property generator which is used for some things, but you could have other things that that use the individual properties that are in the property generator to output things, which could be inconsistent. And so if you simply match on having the same property expressed without the values, without looking at the values, you can then lose data.
Right. Or you can generate more data. If you had foo and it mapped to three things, and then you had bar and it mapped to one of the three things that was in foo's list, when you expanded that, you could lose... when you expanded it, everything would be fine, but when you went to compact it again, you would compact what was previously bar into foo. You could potentially.
So you say you choose the wrong term, basically? Or a different
yes, you end up choosing the wrong term, and then if you expanded it again, you would generate three IRIs for the wrong term that you had chosen, and which would create more data.
Yeah, I don't think this can be done. I don't think the basically 1, 2, 3 options can be done without looking at both the properties and the values and doing the selection based upon finding that match, which is where my combinatorial concern started coming in.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and there's the further issue when you have multiple property generators in the context, which is what I was originally coming in talking about. Then you have to find, not only do you have to match up the IDs and the values, but you have to find the most compact one out of the possible property generators that you have. And it gets even more complex, and you might have to go into the ranking algorithm to try and resolve that.
Right.
Which is ultimately why I was like, how about we just declare which term you want to use when you compact, because that's what people want to know what term's going to be chosen when they use a context. They don't want to have to reason about it to try and figure out what term's going to be chosen. If you could just mark the term, it would be easy.
Yeah, I don't know if even people would end up doing that. I think they would just end up compacting, and if the output looks good to them, they'd go. They wouldn't try to figure it out.
Well, that's fine, but what about the people that want to use compaction to make the data comply, fit with how their application uses it, and they want to access certain properties? What they want to be able to do is put a context in there and say, these are the terms that I want to get out.
Well...
But I mean, we already, I mean, we have that problem already. If you have two properties which map to the same IRI and he compacted then afterward, there is no guarantee that he end up having the same output than he put in.
Right. That's what the ranking algorithm is for, and that's why I was also saying that we could avoid the ranking algorithm by letting people specify in the context which term they would prefer.
Yeah, but I'm saying even with the current ranking algorithm, without property generators, we don't have a perfect round trip. We just choose the most appropriate when compacting.
Right. I'm saying in the context, you could say I would prefer that you choose this one.
That would override things such as language or data type or whatnot.
Yeah,
so you would use that
in preference to
anything else
with
the same IRI.
Right.
Yeah.
We could also put it in as an option that you pass the method and not put it into the context. I'm not saying that that's the ideal solution. I'm just offering it as another alternative.
No, you mean like a callback for when to resolve terms?
Either a callback or some kind of weird JSON
structure. Well, I'm just saying it could work that way, where you could pass in the array of possible terms for compacting something. So that's a little bit complex.
Yeah, but see, once you get to this level of complexity, I'm just not going to do that. I mean, it's so much easier for me to just write. I know what my data is. I will write something that outputs it the way I want. I'm not, trying to use a generic algorithm becomes just too difficult.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but right.
Well, that's why I don't think it's too difficult to just say in your context which terms you want. Just mark the terms you want to have output.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if people even want to do that. I mean, I think for the Drupal case, I mean, it could be that for the Drupal case, they definitely want to generate multiple properties for the markup that they produce. So they want one property to expand to multiple ones. I'm not so certain that they care all that much about compaction, but if they do care about compaction, I would expect that they just wanted to compact down to the same value. I don't know if 5 is going to be that interesting to them. It's interesting to us because it simplifies the algorithm, but I think that's where this...
I'm pretty sure in compaction they'd rather see it that way. If they got something that was in Seoke, that would be a way to automatically get both Seoke and schema, and that would conform with the way they expect the data to work.
Yeah,
it seems surprising to me. Okay, well, we're well over our time for today. I think we're going to have to keep discussing this because I'm not hearing a consensus one way or the other. I'm trying to think of something that we could do in the intervening week, either an implementation of it or maybe talking to the Drupal folks about it to see what their take on it is. Because ultimately they're the customer for this feature, so we should probably talk to them about what they expect, and then see if that's what drives the decision for this. Because it could be that this feature number 5 is actually very useful to a community that we've just not talked to yet, and it would work for Drupal as well. I think we just don't know right now. Okay. I'll touch base with Lynn Clark and Stefan about this to see what they expect. Anything else? Any other comments before we go? Anything we should be aware of over the next week? All right. Thanks for the good discussion, guys. We'll chat next week. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.